Hey, welcome to PCMC.
Ha ha!
Hey! Y'all ready for this? I'm Mike Buongiorno.
I'm Emilio Sparks.
You're watching wrestling.
Yes, I am.
Usually, I yell at Emilio to turn off the devices. It's time to podcast. Yeah. But there's a special wrestling show on.
Yes.
What's happening here?
This
What's
is this called the Elimination Chamber. It's the second to last pay-per-view before WrestleMania.
Okay. So
it's the big game of wrestling pay-per-views.
Is it really though? No,
yeah. WrestleMania.
Yeah. But
this is like the playoffs.
Elimination Chamber.
This is like sets up for several plot points that will aid in WWE storytelling.
Is this on broadcast television or
the WWE network? WWE doesn't. I don't think they do the standard pay-per-view model anymore.
It's just you have to do their streaming service.
You have to subscribe to their streaming service for their pay-per-views.
How much is the streaming service?
$9.99 a month.
That's not bad.
I don't pay for it, but yeah.
All right. Would you steal it?
I have friends.
I've got friends in high places.
I have friends that work for that company that give me their logins.
Sure, absolutely. All right. Well, I hope Vince never finds out what you're up to.
I don't know. I don't think Vince cares about me. Look how sharp he is in that suit.
Anyway.
This guy's my hero.
I know he is. How have you been, Emilio?
I'm good, man. I've been doing a raw vegan diet.
So raw meaning?
I'm eating.
What'd you have today?
Today I had zoodles.
Zucchini noodles?
Yeah, I made those. I ate those. I didn't cook them. And I did fresh tomato and some avocado with a little red onion. I usually eat a whole bunch of dates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love dates. Bananas are good. Yeah. So what?
Peppers without cooking.
What is it doing for you?
Are you
shitting like a champion?
I am, and I'm doing this 40 days to personal revolution Baron Baptiste yoga at my yoga studio. So it's like I committed to a 40 day program of just yoga and good eating.
What day is this?
We're going into week 5.
Okay, so you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
Have you found enlightenment yet? Have you found nirvana?
It's not about that.
Are you at Valhalla?
Like, that's what I thought, but it's just a matter of having certain tools and knowing, okay, I have prevented myself from doing this, so now let me be present and aware within that moment to understand, okay, I'm either going down a path that I'm comfortable with or a path that I want to change.
Everybody, it's Emilio Sparks, the pop culture guru.
It's interesting shit.
Well,
I meditate. We have to meditate. We got to write in journals.
I certainly hope you find what you're looking for.
I don't know what I'm looking for. I just know that I wanted to change my outlook on certain things and have a little bit more pep in my step instead of dreading everything, because I kind of feel like I'm Rick Sanchez without the intellect.
There's so much to unpack there. So you've got the bitterness and the nihilism.
Yes.
But not the genius.
Not the genius.
I don't know. You seem to have a...
Oh, I'm intelligent.
Genial...
Oh, I'm intelligent.
No, I'm not talking about your intellect. Oh. I mean your outlook. You seem to have a genial...
You have to, man. Yeah.
Because Rick Sanchez would never do what you're doing.
No.
He's an alcoholic.
No. He would question this. He goes, this is bullshit.
Right.
He'd
be like, what's the point of this? You're going to be dead at some point anyway.
We're all going to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't matter. There's other Emilios in other timelines.
There probably is.
Some of them are better than you. Some of them are worse than you.
I think that they're all better than this one.
You think you're the...
I'm the Jerry of all the Emilios in the Emilio-verse.
I was going to say, like, you're the Rick that eats shit.
Yeah, I'm definitely the
one with the fucking...
Yep, with the fucking mushroom haircut.
That's friends with Jerry?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
my greatest contribution is making chemical brownies.
you want to know some news?
Yeah.
I got more Anne Hathaway news. She is in a new Sesame Street movie that's coming out. And the plot of the movie is that she and some other Muppets are lost in New York, and they are quite literally trying to find how to get to Sesame Street. That's the plot of the movie. Are you fucking with me? That's the plot of the movie.
Didn't they have that? Wasn't it called Muppets Lost in New York? Or Muppets Take Manhattan?
Muppets Take Manhattan was them breaking into Broadway, showbiz.
So which was the one where...
You think of Kevin McAllister was lost in New York.
Oh, because I thought... Home Alone 2. Oh, because I thought Elmo got lost in New York and then criminals were trying to kidnap him.
Nope, Kevin McAllister.
Are you sure? McAllister.
Yep. I'm sure.
And there was like paint cans and...
Yeah, Kevin.
Was he in a toy store that kind of looked like F.A.O. Schwartz? And then the old man gave him two turtle doves?
I believe Elmo only appeared in Elmo and Elmo Land, or where the fuck that movie was called.
Are you sure about this?
I'm 100% sure.
Am I getting another movie mixed up with this?
Yeah. Home Alone 2, : Lost in New York, starring Donald Trump.
I forgot about that.
And the great Tim Curry as the snooty concierge of a role he was born to play.
You want a tip?
No, I have some already. Thank you.
Well, I was going to give you money this time.
Rob Schneider. Hey, who knew that Rob Schneider and Tim Curry would be the comedy team of the decade? Those two really should have done more together.
I would have liked to have seen a spinoff. The Hobbs and Shaw of Home Alone 2 Lost in New York.
Exactly. For a second, I tried to remember their names.
They probably don't even have names.
Bellhop and Snooty Concierge. So, what do you think about this? I don't believe there has been a theatrical big deal movie about Sesame Street since Follow That Bird.
What a steady decline in movies, huh? After you win an Academy Award.
Who? Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Wait, are you pro Hathaway?
I'm pro Hathaway. I'm all the Hathaway, baby.
Well played. Punny, but well played.
I'm the king of puns.
After Devil Wears Prada, I lost interest in her. I didn't even like her in Devil Wears
Colossus
Prada.
Colossus was great.
Yeah, I'm good.
She was great as Catwoman.
No, she wasn't.
She was.
Fuck out of here. She insult me like that.
I mean, I still wish they had made Catwoman a woman of color, because she's been a woman of color in at least half of the comic books, and there's not a single person of color in those fucking Christopher Nolan movies.
Nope.
But she did a good job. I like her. She's also doing Princess Diaries 3.
I'm good.
No?
I'm good.
I can't believe you're anti-Hathaway. She's charming.
I don't like her.
She was the only thing I liked about Ocean's 8.
I did not even like her performance in The Intern.
Oh, no one saw that. I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
Isn't that where she's like bad guy and De Niro's a good guy?
No. De Niro was... De Niro. He just played an old retired man that showed this new millennial how to run a business with a little more heart.
So she wasn't like straight up villain, though?
No, she wasn't a Bond villain.
She just turned heel in that one. How dare you, sir?
She is.
She is charming.
I'd rather watch paint dry on the
wall. Have you never seen her rap on Conan?
I'm good. I'll pass. Thanks.
I'm honestly disturbed. Why? Disturbed by this. Because she's a talent. She is a gem. She has a million dollar smile.
I don't even know what she won an Academy Award for. How about that? I just know that.
I don't know either. I'm guessing Brokeback supporting.
All I know is... Talk show host will say Academy Award winning Anne Hathaway.
Probably Brokeback, which she was great in.
I'm going to look this up right now.
Look it up. You know what? Do me a favor. Could you look up her IMDb? I want to go through this with you.
Yes, we could do that.
Because she's an American gem, and you've never been more wrong on anything.
No.
And her with Elmo and Big Bird? Come on, sign me up.
I got no desire. She's boring.
Sign me up. They're trying to find how to get to Sesame Street.
She's fucking boring.
How dare you? You're boring.
She is. Like, when she opens her mouth, I'm out.
Wow.
I'm out.
Wow.
I'm out. I'd rather watch an Anna Kendrick movie.
Anna Kendrick is good, but she's not in the same league.
Discography. Where's her filmography?
Filmography. Videography.
Let's see. Anne Hathaway, filmography.
Give it to me.
Okay. What do you want to start with? The first film or like the latest films?
Let's start from the beginning and go up.
Okay. According to IMDb,
Internet Movie Database, yeah. For you noobs.
Yeah, her filmography. She has 47 acting credits.
Good for her.
Let's see. Do you want something in? She was in The Simpsons.
Who hasn't? I think I was in The Simpsons once.
She was in Rio.
The animated film?
Yeah. She voiced.
Well, you're picking up bad shit. Come on. What are you doing now?
So you do it then. She was in Family Guy.
Why are you looking at weird animated cameos?
Because that's the only thing of interest.
And why is your device always on nighttime mode? It's so annoying.
Because I don't like my eyes to have the blue light.
You don't like fucking... God damn you. Okay, let's see here. Let's look at this fucking great career. The Princess Diaries, 2001.
Julie Andrews starred in that, though.
2004. You bet she fucking did. Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement, 2004. Brokeback Mountain, 2005. She was great in that. Hoodwinked. Sorry, never mind that. Devil Wears Prada, 2006.
Loved it.
Becoming Jane.
Never seen it.
She played Jane Austen. She was Agent 99 in Get Smart. I forgot about that.
Never watched it.
Rachel Getting Married.
Never seen it. Did she play Rachel?
She played Kim with a Y.
Oh.
Alice in Wonderland. She was the White Queen. Forgot about that. Love and Other Drugs.
I seen that.
That's good. She's good in that.
I seen that.
The Dark Knight Rises as Selina.
I did not like that.
You didn't like her in it, or you didn't like the whole movie?
Well, I just didn't like the whole movie. Get
the fuck out of here. Interstellar. She's great in that.
Yawn. That's right at the tail end of
The Intern. Alice Through the Looking Glass. Colossal is an amazing indie movie. Everyone should see Colossal. Documentary Now. Ocean's 8. She's in that new movie, The Hustle, that looks good. She's great. She's fucking fantastic.
If you say so.
You're a goddamn... Let's look at her awards. Let's look at her awards. We might be here a while.
Yeah, sure.
Because this woman's won a lot of stuff.
You love her. It's
all right. She's a gem. No. Oh, I forgot Les Miserables. She won an Oscar in supporting role for Les Miserables.
Les Miserables!
She was nominated for an Oscar for leading role in Rachel Getting Married.
So she's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah, for Les Miserables.
Okay.
She won a Golden Globe for Les Miserables.
I wonder how boring her speeches were.
She won a Primetime Emmy for her Simpsons role.
Wow.
How about that, Emilio Sparks?
Wow.
She won a BAFTA for Les Miserables.
Well, the BAFTA is a BAFTA.
The Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films, USA, gave her the Saturn Award for Selena in The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
Any other big ones? That's basically all the big ones. So, she's a gem. Take your thing.
I don't know, Mike. You're not fucking... selling me on her. You're not. I'm not drinking the Anne Hathaway Kool-Aid.
All right. Let's move on to the next.
But I would want to see it because I like the Muppets.
Yeah.
I do like the puppets.
Yeah.
So
I just hope it's not too Elmo. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, who's the breadwinner?
Elmo. Where he was. Now that Kevin Clash is gone.
So who's...
Although I heard that he low-key, like, has snuck back in.
Who's the king puppet now?
On the show?
Yeah.
I think it's still Elmo. But it's voiced by someone else.
But does it sound the same? Or does it, like, he's like, "Hi, I'm Elmo"?
I think it sounds the same.
Oh, okay. Is Frank Oz voicing him?
No, Frank Oz is fucking...
retired?
No, he did Yoda in The Last Jedi.
Oh, okay.
Which leads us to our next story. Shooting principal photography has wrapped on Star Wars Episode 9. J.J. Abrams released a touching image on the set of John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, and Oscar Isaac hugging. And Oscar Isaac almost looks like he's crying. And it's touching. And of course, the internet has been looking at that image, trying to figure out what we can find out about the movie through it.
Is it supposed to be like the end game? Is it like this is the last one?
Yeah, episode 9 is the end of the episodic one.
So what do you think happens? Is the universe finally ridden of the evil empire?
Yeah. I think Kylo will die.
You don't think he just...
turns good?
Turns good?
No, I think it's too late for
Embraces
him.
Embraces his Skywalkerism?
I think it's too late for him. I think Daisy Ridley's going to fucking fuck him up. She's going to cut him in two with a lightsaber.
So this is it. It's over.
It's over for the main chapters. There'll still be other Star Wars movies that take place in the world of Star Wars. But this is it for episodes 1 to 9. This is
Do
episode 9.
Do you think it's time to end it?
Yes. Maybe in another 30 years, we'll do another generation
You don't think we're going to get episode 10?
I really don't think so. I mean, maybe, you know, they could easily give us an episode 10 in 2 years and I'll be like, well, how naive I was. But I think they are going to keep pumping out stuff. But Rian Johnson is still doing his, even though rumors have been saying that he's not doing his. He is still doing his trilogy, which is a spinoff trilogy. The Game of Thrones producers are doing their own trilogy. Plus, there's various little one-off movies happening. They're wearing basically the same costumes they've been wearing in the last two movies, which is making
I hope they had several different costumes. It's not just the same one.
Well, yeah, probably. That would smell. But the original Star Wars movies would have like 2 years in between each chapter. And The Last Jedi did something that was unique where it began like a second after The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And given that they look like they're wearing the same outfits.
It's just picking up right where it left off.
It looks like they might, that this trilogy might just be one after the other after the other.
So it's like Rocky IV and the Rocky V.
Yes. Yes. Which a lot of people probably won't like. Here's what I think is going to happen. Oh, by the way, also in the picture, they're on a sand planet, which means they could be back on Jakku, which is where The Force Awakens was, where Rey comes from, or they could be on Tatooine, which is where Luke came from. I think what will happen is...
Return of the Sith.
No, Revenge of the Sith.
No, I'm saying the Sith's return.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another thing we don't know, which is what the title of this movie is, because the title's always enigmatic. And we're looking, you know, we're waiting for what it might be.
The clones attack again.
That would be grammatically a little awkward, I think.
Oh.
Plus, there's no clones in this world. Unless my wild fan theory that Rey is a clone turns out to be true.
The new Phantom Menace.
I think if you really wanted a Star Wars movie with a tank, you would name it The New Phantom Menace. Oh, all right. I think this movie's going to come out. People are going to love it because it's going to be fun. It's going to be the end. It's going to be a happy ending. And then in 10 years, all the hate for The Last Jedi will go away because people will watch all three at the same time. And it'll be the middle chapter that's weird, just like Empire is. And that's it. You know, Empire got weird reviews when it first came out. I just rewatched Empire Strikes Back again with a live orchestra playing the music, which was kind of amazing. And I was surprised thinking about it now, because I haven't watched it since The Last Jedi, and it's a lot like The Last Jedi in that it's weird, it's dark, it makes a lot of weird choices. I just think, I don't know, you know what I can't get.
I've watched it.
The Empire Strikes Back?
No.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I watched The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little bit into this, how they're going to wrap all this up.
Yes.
Because it always seems like they have so much unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just always constantly going. Like, I feel like, oh my, this is like a wrestling storyline. It's like it constantly just doesn't end.
Yeah,
it's like, why? Well, I feel like they've been telling this for 20 years. Eventually, like
40,
doesn't war stop eventually?
Well, that's the kind of weird thing about this new trilogy, which is, you know, a lot of the fans openly accepted the idea of more Star Wars movies, but with The Force Awakens you have to accept that ultimately Luke, Leia, and Han failed in the original trilogy.
They did.
To rid the galaxy of space fascism.
They're fucking terrible. They were losers. They didn't do anything.
They had a good 20 years apiece.
They didn't do shit.
They had a good 20 years apiece.
Fucking Luke Skywalker left, gave up all his powers, and was drinking titty milk from some creature.
It's because his younglings got murdered by Kylo Ren. But you had Princess Leia in the Senate fucking getting shit done, building a new republic.
And look what happened to her. They were reading her emails.
But her emails. There actually is a book called Bloodline where she does have a but her emails scandal.
Stop it.
Yeah, she's running for what they call first senator, which would be like the leader of the whole galaxy, because the current chancellor, Mon Mothma, is in ill health. Anyway, in the new continuity, nobody knows that Darth Vader's her father, and that comes out. And her career is going good. She was about to win, and then the fucking James Comey of Star Wars comes out, and he's like, guess what? Darth Vader was her father, and it's a big scandal. And it brings her political and military record into question. Was she in on it? So on and so forth. Bloodline by Claudia Gray.
Do you think that the ending of this last Star Wars picture will be the Jedi's destroying a wall built around the galaxy.
Yes, I think Kylo Ren is going to declare an emergency. He's going to say it's a galactic emergency. We need to protect the borders of the galaxy. And the Jedi, after protesting and trying to get something done through the system, will eventually revolt. And that'll be it.
So Rey kind of takes a stance as Nancy Pelosi, pretty much.
Actually, I was thinking Rey is more like Alexandra Cortez. Her last name's Cortez, right?
Yeah, ACO.
Yeah, ACO. AOC.
AOC.
Yeah, that's, she's the Rey of real life.
That's great. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Leave your negative reviews on iTunes.
Oh, what else is in the news?
Hulu signed a deal. This came out of nowhere. Hulu signed a deal with Marvel to do animated series. And we all thought that when the Marvel Netflix shows ended, that Marvel was like, we're going to do our own thing on our own streaming service.
I thought they were going to the Disney.
Yeah. I don't know. They are, but they've got this deal with Hulu to make a couple of animated shows. Do you want to know what they are?
I hope they're not like Spider-Man and Captain America.
Oh, no.
What are they?
MODOK.
Okay.
Marvel's Hit Monkey.
I'm interested in that one.
Tigra and Dazzler Show.
No.
And Howard the Duck. And then all the stars of those series will come together in a crossover called Marvel's The Offenders.
So,
in which MODOK, Dazzler, Tigra, Hitmonkey, and Howard the Duck come together as an unlikely team to save the universe. So it's kind of like the way they did the Defenders, except it's all these weird, shitty characters.
You know, I never understood Howard the Duck's place in Marvel.
Well, he's sort of, he's in the galactic side of things, like Guardians and stuff. So he's from another world. And then he came here, and I think he was a detective. It's hard to tell because I've never really read the comics.
And the movie was so bad.
And the movie, well, the movie, I kind of like the movie.
You liked Howard the Duck?
It's a cult, you know, guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah, what's her face start in that?
As Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks like Jem from Jem and the Holograms in that.
She used to call him Ducky.
Yeah, yeah, there's a weird bestial relationship.
Well, they'll get it on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a weird relationship between her and Howard in that.
But hey, did he have any parts?
I believe it did. Well, ducks, their penises look like screws, like a pig's tail. So she was into that, I guess.
And it's just covered by the feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you remember who was the villain in that movie?
Tim Robbins.
No, Tim Robbins was a good guy.
I thought he was the villain.
No, he was like their scientist friend.
No, all right, who was the villain?
Jeffrey Jones.
Yes.
Known child pornography connoisseur.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Jones.
But he was always creepy, though, even in Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. But he said that arcade looking for him.
As the dad in Beetlejuice, he was creepy.
Yeah, he always was a creep.
Yeah.
I mean, you hate to say this, but he's the kind of guy you'd look at and go, that's a guy who enjoys child pornography.
He's a weirdo. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
Beetlejuice is on Broadway now.
Has it opened?
It's going to.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. Although, what's it going to be? Just Harry Belafonte songs?
I think so. Right? What's wrong with that? Jump in the line. Rock your body every time. Okay.
Well, that's there's nothing wrong with that, but is there enough for it to be? I don't know. It seems like a weird choice for a musical. I mean, I'm interested in it. I love Beetlejuice.
We should go see it. We'll wear our fanciest duds.
You said you were interested in Hitmonkey.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Hitmonkey. What's Hitmonkey?
I don't know much about it, but I know he's in the Deadpool world, and he's a hitman monkey.
Here it says, tells the tale of a wronged Japanese snow monkey mentored by the ghost of an American assassin as he cuts a wide swath through the Tokyo underworld in this darkly cinematic and brutally funny revenge saga.
Yeah, he's in the Deadpool world because he's
an assassin.
He's been in a few Deadpool comics.
MODOK is interesting.
Why, though?
I don't know. Because Marvel, what's left with Marvel?
They're scraping the bottom of the barrel now. Well, Silver Surfer, X-Men, Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
They still have to redeem those.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck, this is how it's described on comicbook.com. Marvel's Howard the Duck is trapped in a world he never made. Trapped in a world he never made? That doesn't make sense. But America's favorite fighting fowl hopes to return home with the help of his unstoppable gal pal, Beverly.
That's Leah Thompson.
Leah Thompson. Before the evil Dr. Bong can turn him into the crispiest dish of the menu. Uh-oh. Here's where it gets bad.
But is this an Onion review?
No, no. This is the synopsis.
Oh, I thought this show was from the Onion.
But here's where it gets bad. You ready?
Yeah.
Writers Kevin Smith. I'm out. I'm out.
Remember when you used to love Kevin Smith?
Yeah. When I was like 13, 14. That's when you do love Kevin Smith.
He gets me, man. He gets me.
He's so cool. I can make movies just like him. You know what I still mourn?
And he's a comic book nerd, too.
He is.
So I would assume he would get it.
You know what I still mourn, Emilio? The Donald Glover Deadpool cartoon. I wish that had happened. I really wish that had happened.
Same.
Because he posted some of the script on Twitter after the show was, like, axed. And it was funny. It looked good.
Yeah.
And I just think Deadpool is perfect for an animated series.
I don't think they pulled the trigger on it, though. I think it's too violent.
It was going to be FX, which I think could have done it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Even with, like, the coarse language?
Well, it was going to be animated, you know. And gore? So, well, they do, like, Sons of Anarchy and shit on FX.
That is true.
Yeah. And then the offenders, or they come together. Kind of like defenders, you get it?
I get it. It's a play on words.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it, my friend. All right, let's go to Trailer Corner.
Let's mosey.
Frozen 2. Did you see the trailer for Frozen 2?
Yes, I did.
It looks like Game of Thrones. What is it, an epic fucking fantasy adventure? It doesn't even look like a Disney movie.
I'm just waiting for, like, the dragons to pop up.
Yeah.
And, you know, Olaf yells out, "Hold the door. Hold the door."
Yeah. I'm told by my really smart feminist friends that it's significant that Elsa is wearing pants in the trailer.
Oh, I just thought she was cold.
No, the cold never bothered her anyway.
So I've never seen
That Frozen. Was a really funny joke. If you knew Frozen,
yeah,
you'd be laughing your ass off at that reference.
Sorry. Am I the worst?
The cold never bothered her anyway. Anyway, Emilio.
Sorry, Mike.
No, she's wearing pants.
Oh.
Because she deserves pockets and because she's more than just a pretty princess. God damn it. They're going to save the goddamn kingdom or whatever they're going to do in this movie.
Didn't they do that the last time?
Nah, it was more about the sisters together. She also might be the first openly gay princess. They might pull the trigger on that and actually do it.
I hope they do.
I think...
Disney's got to get with the times, man.
And this is a movie that has a huge audience already built into it.
Billions.
Right. So people are going to see it. I think this is how you would do that. If you were going to make that bold move, instead of having some low-budget thing that you're like, oh, here's an openly gay princess, like, take something that's already... Because she's already kind of coded queerly in the first movie. You know, like, I know you've never seen it, but, like, she spends her entire life in a room... which is sort of like a metaphor for the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents tell her, conceal it, don't feel it. When she sings Let It Go, it's almost like a coming out kind of thing. So she's already kind of like a gay icon. And why not just have her be gay?
Wow. Now I got to watch it now. I have to
Frozen is very good. Except for the trolls. There's, like, trolls in it or whatever that are like, why are you in this movie? And Olaf kind of annoys me. But, you know, it's good stuff in it. There's good songs in it, too. Do you want to build a snowman? It's kind of like, do you want to come out of the closet?
Like, you know how I feel about...
Do you want to build a snowman?
You know how I feel about the singing in the Disney films.
Well, you know Anne Hathaway is going to be singing in this Sesame Street film. You know that. She won an Oscar for her singing talents.
Yeah.
She sang with a buzzed head. That's bravery.
Yeah.
So Frozen 2, it begins with Elsa. She's like running at the ocean, and as she steps ice is formed under her feet, so it's she's trying to figure out how to like walk on the water, and then like a wave comes. So it begins like in this very
she's like Snow Jesus
packed way. Yeah, she's like Snow Jesus. It looks very like actiony. It looks very like epic. Like a lot of people online were like, is this a Marvel movie? What is this?
I think it's a little bit of a Marvel influence.
Why not? Why not? I mean, she's got powers.
She does.
Yeah, she's like Iceman. She can make ice through her hands and form anything out of ice and, you know, whatever.
Okay. I didn't know that. I don't know her origin story.
It's based on the fairy tale, The Snow Queen. But in that fairy tale, The Snow Queen's sort of a bad guy. Where Frozen, they made her a good guy. Because wow, so women Disney don't have to fight other women.
So wait a minute. So Disney films actually still take from old wise tales and fairy tale stories?
As much as they can. Yeah. I think... I believe... I might be totally wrong on this. But I think... Snow Queen is Hans Christian Andersen, who also did Little Mermaid. I might be wrong on this.
Hans Christian Andersen wrote The Little Mermaid?
Yeah.
That was an original fairy tale story?
Well, I don't know when he wrote it, but...
I'm going to look this up right now.
He definitely wrote it. I need to rewatch Frozen. I haven't watched it in years, and I remember really loving it the first time I saw it. So I need to like revisit it before the new one comes out.
Oh my God, you're right.
Of course I'm right. Do you have a year on that?
1837.
The Little Mermaid. Year. It was a good year. Did he do Snow Queen?
Is it called The Ice Maiden?
That sounds close enough.
In 1863?
Do you got a plot on that?
No.
I'm gonna go with yes on that. The Ice Maiden.
Oh, wait. Then the Snow Queen's in 1844.
Oh, okay.
The Ugly Duckling was 1843.
Okay.
What else did he do? The Emperor's New Clothes in 1837.
For a second, I thought you were going to say New Groove.
Yeah, it was... And Princess and the Pea.
He's good. He's good.
I didn't
Little Mermaid's coming out on Blu-ray. They're opening up the vault. You excited about that?
Do we really need to collect DVDs? It's 2019. Can't we just stream shit?
Blu-rays. She's not streamable at the moment.
What's the importance of a Blu-ray?
Well, now you've got Blu-ray and 4K, which is like, it looks amazing.
But it still looks the same.
But it's not streamable anywhere. It's the only place you'd get it. Disney doesn't let all their stuff out.
It's in the vault.
Yeah. And it closed that fucking vault. Yeah, it
closed the vault.
And then they open that vault up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Not everything comes out of the vault. Some things stay in that vault.
I mean, The Rescue Is Down Under never come out.
Fucking, what's that old racist movie? That one never comes out. The one with all the bad African-American stereotypes. I forget what it's called. It's what fucking Splash Mountain's based on. You don't know any of this.
You lost me.
All right.
I didn't even know that Disney had a vault.
Oh, boy. They got a vault. They got a vault.
Is the vault on display when you go to Disneyland?
No, I think it's a virtual vault.
Oh. I thought it was like a
real... Although I'm sure they have archives and stuff.
They have, right?
Yeah, of course. Everything has archives. So you're going to see Frozen 2?
I have to watch Frozen 1 first.
You do. All right, let's talk about Shaft. I did not know this movie was happening, and I'm so happy.
Dude, I got so excited.
Yeah.
When I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
Because I loved the first one.
The Samuel Jackson one.
Yeah.
What was that, 2001 or something?
2001, man.
God damn, he looks exactly the same.
I remember that trailer too, when it's Busta Rhymes yelling out "Shaft!"
Yeah, and that one also had Richard Roundtree as his dad.
Richard Roundtree's in this one.
Yeah, now there's it's a family of three generations.
This
one looks funnier than the last one. The Shaft from 2001. Remember that had Christian Bale in it?
See, I've noticed that this is the trend that they're doing with a lot of action films now, is that they're adding humor to it.
Yeah.
Like, they did it with Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, this looks very funny. Like, John Shaft Jr., the third generation, he seems like he's sort of, like, soft, and he's not a badass like his dad.
Yeah.
Like, that seems to be the bits in it.
Because Shaft is cool.
Yeah, you bet.
He's smooth.
He's a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Shaft. And I feel like John Shaft, what is it, the third, or is it John Shaft Jr.?
They call him John Shaft Jr., and then in the trailer...
Because if Richard Roundtree is John Shaft the first... Shaft, played by Samuel L. Jackson, is John Shaft Jr. Wouldn't the son of John Shaft Jr. be John Shaft III?
Is Richard Roundtree Samuel Jackson's father? Because he only has a cameo in that
first
movie.
He calls him granddad in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Well, Samuel Jackson calls
like
the
I'm
kid
Emilio,
JJ.
Like, I'm Emilio Sparks the third.
Is that true?
Yeah. My dad is Emilio Sparks Jr.
Yeah.
And my grandfather is Emilio Sparks Sr.
Esquire. Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know the Sparks. Are you from the Connecticut Sparks?
No. The Connecticut Sparks, they want nothing to do with us.
Oh, well.
They look down upon us.
It's an old rivalry.
Yeah, it is. Those it's like die the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Those die hard. It's funny that it's called Shaft, because that means there are three movies called Shaft, and they are a series. Plus, there was sequels to the original Richard Roundtree.
Bro, Shaft was amazing.
I never saw the original.
Dude, you gotta
watch it. But I loved the Samuel Jackson one.
You should teach and screen the first Shaft from the 70s starring Richard Roundtree.
What would be the context of the lesson?
I guess it was part of the whole black exploitation culture films back in the 70s.
Okay, that sounds like fun. I used to show a clip from The Mac. You ever see The Mac?
Mac is good.
I used to show the montage where he was building his staple of hose.
Yeah.
And he's like throwing up the money in the air and stuff. I use that as an example of a montage.
You should definitely screen Shaft.
I got to watch Shaft.
We should
watch original Shaft.
Matter of fact, I would shut wrestling off right now for Shaft.
Would you?
Yeah.
I doubt that's true.
I would choose
you Shaft. You got to know who wins the
I can easily go fight. On. Can easily go on wrestling Twitter right now, which is just a wasteland of just neckbeards.
By the way, Richard Roundtree has the funniest part of the whole trailer when a guy is fighting him and he takes out a knife, and then Richard Roundtree goes, let me get mine, and he shoots him.
Yeah.
And then Samuel Jackson's like, what, are you having a knife fight back in? He's like, nah, I shot him.
You gotta learn how to fight with your hands, grandson.
Yeah. It looks like a ball.
Then he opens up like some room and has like just tons of artillery.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, sometimes you gotta just, you know, you can never be too cautious.
It looks like fun.
I want to see it.
It looks like a lot of fun. And it really came out of nowhere. I heard nothing of it.
Same.
I was like, holy shit. Like, when I saw it, I was like, is this a fan trailer? Is this for real? Like, until Samuel Jackson showed up, I was like, what is this? Oh, actually, until Samuel Jackson showed up, I thought it was like a remake reboot. And then when I saw Samuel, I was like, oh, shit, they're continuing it. That's exciting. That's exciting, because if you
and
call it a trilogy,
it
there's like 20 years in between each one.
And if they said it too, like, Chef, where you been? It's been like 20 years.
He's been fucking taking care of business. I like when the son goes, he thinks he's the black James Bond. And he says, if James Bond were real, he'd think it was me.
Yeah, that's a great line.
It's fun. I'm excited about it.
Shaft is smooth, man.
You bet he fucking is. The third trailer we watched was Child's Play, the remake of Child's Play.
Now, it's AI, right?
Yes, in this one it's AI, not okay. Voodoo possession.
Okay.
In the original one, a murderer who is also a practitioner of voodoo, while he's in a shootout being killed, he was robbing like a kid's store. He takes a doll off the shelf, I forget the chant that's in all those movies, and his soul goes into
the doll.
The Chucky doll, which is called
Buddy?
No, in real life it's called My Buddy.
Okay.
It's based on My Buddy, basically. And
wouldn't it be called Chucky?
No, Chucky's his specific name.
Oh.
Because they all have their own names, like Cabbage Patch.
Oh.
Like, you open it up and you find their name.
Oh.
But in this one, it's AI. It's an evil AI.
And it's called Chucky.
Yes. And at one point to the trailer, the kid says, Chucky.
Okay.
And you've got, what's his name? Paperboy as the detective. He's from Atlanta. He's Paperboy.
Oh, yeah.
He's the voice of Miles Morales' dad in Into the Spider-Verse. I love that guy. And you, oddly enough, you have Aubrey Plaza as the mom.
Really?
Yeah. Looking like she's playing it straight.
How do you know most of these actors and actresses by face?
I don't know. I've got good facial recognition. I'm good with faces, terrible with names.
Like,
I'm really bad with names. I have a hard time remembering my students' names, but I know their faces.
Like, I'm amazed how you could call back to a specific actor or actress.
Well, listen, I'm a professional. I'm a pop culture man child.
There you go.
I put in the work, Emilio.
So do you ever think that we would legitimately get like an AI crazed killer in the form of a children's toy?
Like, if Teddy Ruxpin ever like came to life and murdered people?
Because to me, that's as far as AI has really come, as far as children's toys.
I don't know. I also don't know how I feel about it going from like magical fantasy to sci-fi.
Well, I think horror. It has to go with the times. And he can always...
They don't show Chucky in it.
He can always reboot his consciousness to somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the original story, he's trying to put his soul in the little boy so he can become a human again. And I wonder if there's something like that happening in the new one. Like he'll put his operating system inside the boy.
No.
There's been AI movies.
That would make no sense, though.
There's been AI movies like that where like they want to be human. That's kind of like that movie that just came out this year.
I would rather be AI. I'd be like, yeah, I can live forever.
You'd rather be a little boy in overalls if you were AI? No, you'd rather take a human body?
I could build a better robot, though. I could build a better, stronger version.
More sense to me. That actually makes sense to me.
I'd be like, all right, let me jump in this little kid's toy body so I can actually have the moving parts and the thumbs so that way I can start building a body. And then I would build this really kick-ass looking fucking The Rock looking physique.
Have you ever seen the original Child's Play?
Michael, you know the question to this. You know the answer to this question already.
I know. I just want to make you say it.
It's scary. It's so
spooky.
No, it's spooky.
I can't.
Well, I would never watch it.
All right, let's take a break.
I'm scared.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here with Mr. Emilio Sparks.
I do it
the
for
third.
The third.
It's the chill sesh.
I do it for the planet, y'all.
What you been chilling with?
I'm reading a book.
What book?
Diary of an Oxygen Thief by Anonymous.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What's it about?
It is about this emotionally numb dude who comes to terms with his own alcoholism and tries to figure out why he would treat girls like shit.
And it's written by Anonymous.
That's what it says, written by Anonymous.
Where'd you get it?
I found it at work in the book pile giveaway, because they have a pile of books that they continuously, like, we just add to the pile. So I was rummaging through the books and I was like, this looks pretty interesting.
So how is it so far?
I'm about 100 pages in. And he's been clean and sober, and he still has some emotional disconnect in terms of relationships, but he is trying to figure out, okay, what do I do next in terms of my life? Mm-hmm. He landed this big, apparently the character, they don't even tell the character's name.
Oh, I see.
The character is an executive in an advertising firm. Originally, he is from Dublin by way of London.
Mm-hmm.
Lands his big job in the States, St. Croix, Minnesota. And now he is in St. Croix trying to adjust to American life and the weather and the people. And, you know, he buys a house. And he's not happy that he bought the house. He feels stuck. He doesn't want to stay in America. Yeah. He doesn't want to... Not America. I think he just doesn't want to stay in St. Croix, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels that they're trying to... His coworkers, while nice people, are trying to convert him to their normalcy. Where it's like, well, hey, there's pretty girls that work here. and you got the house. It's real pretty. You got a really good job. You know, you're good at your job. You could stay here forever and make a really good living. So I guess he's battling that as well as battling his sobriety.
What's the cover look like?
I'll show you.
I'm really interested in the idea of it being anonymous and having a narrator that's unnamed. Is it like a blank cover? Diary of an Oxygen Thief, anonymous. Okay. Oh, it looks like a nice little
It's a good read.
Interesting cover. It's a snowman.
Well, that's what got me at first. I was like, what is this?
It looks like a real like image. It doesn't look like a cover that's constructed. It looks like something you'd see on like Instagram. A snowman made.
Well, now it makes sense because he was talking about the winters in St. Croix.
Richard Nash, the author of What is the Business of Literature, calls him F. Scott Fitzgerald for the iPad generation.
I don't know about all that, but it's not that moving. There's some like decent quotes in there that I highlighted, but nothing really like, ooh, wow, this is...
Sexual assailant Juno Diaz says, the author does a great job. I loved it.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Like he talks about why he treated women poorly. Like he doesn't know why he does it, but he knows that it makes him feel better about himself. And he goes, like, read the first...
Oh, it's almost like a little novella. It's 150 pages long. Yeah.
Read the first page.
All right, I will. Oxygen Thief. But have you Googled it? I'm sure you can find who really wrote it.
I tried it. It just keeps on popping up anonymous.
Really?
Anonymous.
When was this book published?
I think 2014.
Oh, shit.
Maybe 2011?
No, 2006.
Oh, really? Wow.
I was going to say if it blew up, we'd find out who it is, but I guess not. I liked hurting girls, period. That's the first line.
Yep.
I liked hurting girls, mentally, not physically. I never hit a girl in my life. Well, once, but that was a mistake. I'll tell you about it later. The thing is, I got off in it. I really enjoyed it. It's like when you hear serial killers say they feel no regret, no remorse for all the people they killed. I was like that. Loved it. I didn't care how long it took either. Loved it is one sentence. Loved it, period. I loved that kind of like terse writing. I didn't care how long it took either because I was in no hurry. I'd wait until they were totally in love with me. Till the big saucer eyes were looking at me, I loved the shock on their faces. Then the glaze as they tried to hide how much I was hurting them. Wow. This is intense shit.
Yeah, that's the first page.
But he's becoming a better person.
Yeah, he's more human towards the middle of the book.
Interesting. I'm just looking at it and I'm seeing short little paragraphs.
Yeah, it's an easy read.
It's got a tightness to it.
It does. It definitely flows. There's a structure to it. I have the image in my head of who this character is, what he looks like, how he moves, how he operates, what his thought process is.
Well, during the break, when we weren't recording, you and I were actually talking about Charles Bukowski.
Yeah.
And something of this writing style reminds me a little bit of Bukowski.
Well, there's
himself is a great fucking domestic abuser.
Yeah, but Bukowski had better descriptions and imagery.
All right, well, I'm not putting him on Bukowski's level, but he looks like maybe he's a little bit inspired by him.
It definitely has remnants, especially the
like
drinking.
Bukowski would have sentences like, it was good, period.
Yeah, but that little sentence makes sense because he would follow it up with this like long description of...
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like the drinking aspect of the book is indicative Bukowski.
Yeah,
Bukowski.
Sure. Amelia, I'm going to just ask you straight out. Did you write this book?
No. I wish I did. I've always wanted to write a book.
You were like working on a book at some point.
I took a break.
That was like what? That was like 2014, yeah, 2015?
I'm about almost 150, 160 pages in.
Push through.
I was going to do 200.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a combination of short and journal entries from a time in my life.
Expound on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I need time to sit and write between
do
teaching.
Do it on the bus, brother. Do it on the train.
Between teaching and editing Wrestle Rap and PCMC. I edit on the train. I edit on the bus. I edit on the ferry. Like, my laptop is always open.
You're full of excuses, Sparks.
I know.
You take those sorries and put them in a sack because I don't want them.
I'm sorry.
So, well, that sounds like a cool book.
So I'm reading that, and I've been watching. Oh, I'm trying to get through one day at a time.
This is it. How is it?
Season 3.
Shit, they're on season 3 already?
So far, I loved every minute of it, but my Netflix keeps on shutting off on one specific scene.
Maybe whoever actually owns the account is sick of you stealing their shit.
You think so?
Maybe they're like, fuck this guy.
Could be. Could be.
So you have it Netflix literally issues? Goes,
it's like 10 minutes into the episode, and then it craps out.
Where do you watch Netflix through? What medium?
Apple TV.
Apple TV, huh? Apple TV kind of sucks. I have found.
I don't mind it. I mean, I use Cat from Comic Trips Hulu. And that streams beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard a Netflix issue. I've never heard of this.
You know what?
Snuff you out for this.
I will show you after we're done. Maybe you can fix it. Maybe you're the guru of the flicks.
I definitely can't. The other day in class, I was having a problem with the projector, and a former student of mine works in the IT thing, and I was like, hey, can you help me? And she was just like, yeah, why don't we just plug this in? And then she just plugged it in, and it worked. And I was like, thank you very much for your expertise.
The student has now become the teacher.
And all the other students were there, so they saw me being a fucking idiot. I just lost...
Oh yeah,
all their respect.
Done.
They're like, well, I'm gonna drop this fucking class. This guy's a moron.
I would be like, wait a minute, this guy has the balls to try to teach me something, but he can't plug in a projector.
This guy has a master's degree in media. He don't know how to plug something in.
I'm good. I have no use for him.
See, the thing is, I don't know how to plug things in, but I can tell you, I can give you a semiotic read of the plug and the look of the plug and what it means in a context.
I'd be like, I'm good.
You know what I've been doing?
What?
As you know, it's been Mickey's 90th anniversary, and I've been enjoying Disney stuff. They put out for Mickey's 90th, for a limited time, these ice cream bars.
Oh God!
That are just like the ones they sell in Disney World, and they look like Mickey, and they're kind of like Klondike. They're vanilla, a delicious vanilla, covered in a nice milk chocolate. And I went to every Target in basically New York City looking for it, and I could not find it. But then a friend of a friend found some here on Staten Island, and I got 3 boxes of it.
Wow.
So now I'm good with Mickey ice cream pops.
How many have you eaten?
I've had none today.
But how many have you eaten?
I've had a lot. I've had about 6. They're quite delicious. And they taste like victory because it took so long to find them.
What store did you get them at?
That's between me and the mouse.
Are you going to go back to the store and get more?
No, I think I've achieved my goal. You know, I am outside of this endeavor. I am actually trying to cut down on sugar.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Outside of this endeavor.
Sounds like it.
I could have had one a week for 6 weeks. You don't know.
I don't think you saw me. I think you probably eaten like 3 at a clip.
No.
In a sitting.
That happened once and it was a dark time.
And the chocolate's all around your mouth.
No, I'm not a...
Really, oh, I need help.
I've had sugar binges where I'm like...
Barefoot running around the streets.
Yeah.
Did you also go to the 90-year exhibit as well?
I did. If you listened to Pop Culture Man Children, you would have heard all about it.
Oh, I didn't listen yet.
On the episode.
I binge.
Oh, okay.
I binge.
I talked about it with Nadia.
Did she go?
She didn't go. But I believe that was... Was that my obsession? No, it wasn't my obsession. It was my chill sesh.
It was fun.
But yeah. But I'm still on a Disney kind of kick right now.
I'm
in a Disney state of... mind.
Well, they're in your mind, but now they're also in your digestive tract.
Yeah. I've started taking probiotics, though.
Oh, yeah? Are they Disney probiotics?
Yeah, they look like little mouse.
Yeah, of course they are.
They're little thing. Actually, I just take 3 pills and I stick them together.
Okay.
I only want Mickey shaped things.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah. Bro, have you seen the documentary Abducted in Plain Sight?
No, because my Netflix keeps on crapping out on me.
I thought it was just This Is It. This is.
I have to watch This Is It first. That's the important thing.
Have you heard about it?
Yes.
They've been talking about it on Twitter.
Oh my God, on Twitter, yeah.
It's bananas. Do you know about it?
A little bit. Why don't you give me, like, the synopsis, un presor?
All right. Well, spoiler alert, although you find out all this stuff, look, it's like any good contemporary documentary. It begins in one crazy situation and it gets crazier and crazier and you're like, how the fuck is this real? If it were a fictional movie, you'd think this is too outlandish. So if you don't want it spoiled, I don't know, skip ahead a few minutes. All right, so this young girl, she's in a family, and her next door neighbor is a pedophile. And he also has a wife and family. And he becomes obsessed with this girl. And at one point, abducts her. Okay?
Okay.
And goes to Mexico and marries her in Mexico. Because he can in Mexico.
Wow.
And the parents drop the charges. Do you know why, Emilio?
Yeah.
Because both the mother and the father were also hooking up with a pedophile.
What?
This monster burrowed his way into this family and had the dad hooked up with the dad, had the dad give him a hand job at least once that we know of, was sleeping with them, having a full-on affair with the mother. The mother was in love with this guy who abducted her daughter.
What?
Yeah, he abducted her twice too, and he told the parents, if you charge me, if you don't drop the charges, I'm going to tell everyone what you've done. And so there's a lot of theories for people who've watched a documentary. Some people believe that the parents basically trafficked her, that knew what was up and just gave her to him.
This can't be real.
Oh, no, it's real. There's even crazier shit that I even got into. He convinces the girl to be with him because he creates these tapes of an alien, and the alien's telling her that if she doesn't make a baby with this guy, the world will end. So she gets that brainwashed into her head, so she thinks that she needs to be with this pedophile to save the world.
Did they show the clips of the alien?
No. But she... It's crazy. You know what it is? It's like, I've watched a lot of cult documentaries, and those are interesting because cult leaders have this way of manipulating people.
Yeah.
And that's basically what this guy is. He's a pedophile, but he's got a cult leader ability to control minds.
Yeah.
I actually don't think, I mean, I don't think the parents are good people, but I think that he brainwashed everyone around.
You think?
So I'm not of the theory that the parents willingly gave her.
It's like you thinking Anne Hathaway's a good actress.
Oh, you know what? God damn it. I'm right on all accounts.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's crazy. It's insane. It's a little bit hard to take. It's a little bit gross.
Yeah. Because I'm disgusted just listening to this.
You hear the guy's actual voice.
Is it creepy?
You bet it is.
Of course.
Because he's like, oh, this is the little girl I've been waiting for. It was one of those things where I decided I had to watch it because of the memes. I wanted to get the memes. Because people were like posting memes like of the parents. Like, these two are going to go down as the worst parents in history. And I was seeing all these memes and I was like, fuck, what is this about? And then somebody was like, oh, you got to watch this documentary. And the documentary has been out for like a year or two. But once it hit Netflix, it blew up.
Yeah.
And now everyone's talking about it. It's so bananas. It's bananas. It's crazy.
I don't know, man. Like,
it's dark, man. It's dark. It also, I have to say, from a filmmaking perspective, it has a lot of reenactments that I think are both unnecessary and a little bit icky. Like, you don't, like, this is a weird case. Like, just give me the talking heads. Don't be reenacting these horrible things.
And you're sure this is real? This is not put on just for the sake of entertainment? Like, this is like,
no, it's not a mockumentary.
Okay.
It is a real documentary. And the woman who's, well, the girl who's now a woman, she goes around and she talks to people, talks to victims. She's sort of dedicated her life to, and she's forgiven her parents.
Yeah.
Because she said, this monster just fucking came in. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like Charles Manson. Like, some people have this insane ability to control other people.
Yeah.
They're just so manipulative. It's crazy. It's insane.
That's, wow. I gotta watch this now.
You gotta watch it just for,
I hope it doesn't cut off 10 seconds in.
The bananas into it. No, I hope so.
I'll be so pissed.
You should call up Netflix.
I can't.
And be like, my name is Kat.
No, I'm not using Kat's Netflix.
I'm using
my cousin Michael's Netflix.
Oh, of course. So be Michael. Do you know Mike's Social Security?
No, I don't.
You just need his login stuff.
Oh, I have that.
All right, that's good. Do you have his credit card number? However he pays for it?
No, I don't.
You might need that. You might.
I gotta ask him. I'll be like,
have you asked him how his service is doing?
I should, right?
Yeah, be like, how are things over on your end?
Mike, let me ask you a question. How's your service on your Netflix account? Because every time I try to watch a specific episode, literally 10 minutes away.
No, that's not bad.
No.
If we were in a different state, I could see Netflix being like, these motherfuckers.
Hey, live 10 minutes away.
Yeah. Actually, you know what, though? Netflix allows you to have different accounts. Like, so, or different profiles. So, really, it's not against the rules anymore.
No, Michael is slick because he wrote on, when you go onto the thing, like, when you choose, it says Michael and Co.
That's fun.
Yeah.
My brother Anthony uses my Hulu, and his profile is Anthony, parentheses, thief. Which is fun.
Oh,
it's fun for everybody involved.
It's great.
What else have I seen? I saw Lego 2. I enjoyed it.
It was good?
Better than Lego 1.
Okay.
Not as good as Batman Lego.
Nothing is. That was on this morning, actually. I watched it.
Best Batman movie. One of the best Batman movies. Oh, I played the first two games in the Arkham series. Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Yeah.
They're pretty fun. They're pretty fun. I've been playing them on PS4, even though they're PS3 games. What else have I been doing? Oh, I saw Isn't It Romantic with Rebel Wilson.
And is it romantic?
It's kind of a parody of romantic comedies. She gets bumped on the head and she wakes up in a romantic comedy. So it kind of is making fun of rom-coms.
Okay.
It's pretty fun. She's actually really good in it. I hope this is the thing for her. I hope this is her. This is a vehicle.
Isn't she already a star?
Kinda, I guess.
Didn't she host like the MTV Music Awards?
She's done a lot of things, but I think this is her first starring role in a movie, right? As the lead protagonist. I might be totally off. I thought it was good. The first couple minutes was like, this might be bad, and then it ended up being good.
Okay.
I saw it at the new AMC theater in the Staten Island Mall.
It's open. That's a thing?
Yeah. It's beautiful in there.
Is it?
And they serve you food. It's nice in there.
I gotta go there.
It's nice theater. I love it.
Is it a good place to take a date?
Sure it is. It's very clean. It's nice. I saw Alita Battle Angel, directed by Robert Rodriguez.
When do you have time to do all this?
Well, I've got the AMC A-list stubs, so I can see 3 movies a week. And now that there's a movie theater so close to me, an AMC so close to me, I just, you know, I go alone sometimes. I go with friends sometimes. I try to see it all.
You don't have Movie Pass no more?
No, no. Movie Pass is a thing of the past, my friend. It's Movie Past.
Oh, it's done.
Tense. It's still around in some form, but I jumped off ship.
I'm finished.
Yeah, like a rat. I was like, I'm done with this fucking thing. So, but AMC Stubbs is great. Now that there's an AMC in Staten Island, it's $20 a month for 3 movies a week, which is basically unlimited.
How big is that theater?
It's big. It's wide. It's got a lot of space. It's crazy.
So the mall has a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Which a lot of malls do, but our mall was always so old, the Staten Island Mall, because it's like one of the oldest malls. But they've been changing a lot of it. Yeah, it's fun. You should check it out in there.
I haven't been to the mall in a while.
I've been to the mall a lot. There's a Lego store in there.
Can we go to the mall?
I like to hit up the Disney store. Right next to the Disney store is Box Lunch. You know, I got a whole thing. I hit the Hot Topic.
Oh, so you have a whole routine.
Yeah, yeah. Hot Topic usually has two, buy two t-shirts, get a third one free. I did that the other day.
What'd you get?
I got a Bendy and the Ink Machine t-shirt. I got a Child's Play, original Child's Play Chucky t-shirt. But it's not Chucky. It's like the package of the toy. Good Guys, that's what it's called. And what was the third one? Oh, I got a Scream t-shirt. It's black and white, and it's a close-up of what's her fucking face? Drew Barrymore on the phone being scared. Real happy about that.
Okay.
Real happy about that. Those purchases.
Okay.
The t-shirt collection.
It's growing.
It grows, growing. And it grows.
It's growing.
I know what I wanted to talk to you about.
What?
It's New York Toy Fair this week, which is not open to regular patrons, but it's open to press and industry people.
So why didn't we go?
I don't know. I forgot that this little dog and pony show here That used to be a thing. Could have gotten us a press pass. But I've been watching all the leaks and some, well, not leaks, like they're pretty, they're normal releases. And there've been a lot of interesting stuff. I sent you already. There's a crossover between Ghostbusters and Transformers. The Ecto-1 transforms into a Transformer.
When are you getting it?
It comes out June 1st. I'm getting it June 1st. I cannot wait to get it.
How much money is this?
I think it's $30.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. And the packaging looks like 80s Transformers. And IDW is doing a comic book crossover of Transformers and Ghostbusters.
Does the Ecto-1 transform?
You fucking bet it's gonna. You yes. bet it's gonna. Yes. There's also, sticking with Ghostbusters, there's a bunch of Ghostbusters pops coming out. What else is exciting news? The Masters Universe Classics line, which are like the really highly articulated toys.
Yeah.
Which there's a bunch of them that have gone on for years. I only own one of them. But now they're putting out stuff from the movie. So they've got Franklin Joe, the Skeletor figure, and Skeletor in the gold.
Oh, wow.
God outfit, like at the end when he gets the power.
You got to show me those. I want to see what they look like.
They look good. The He-Man figure looks good, although it doesn't look like.
Dolph?
Dolph, no. What else? Oh, speaking of He-Man, Mega Constructs, like that fake Lego thing.
Yeah.
You know how they've had the little He-Man figures?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're doing a Castle Grayskull in the Mega Constructs scale. Gotta get that. Gotta get the Castle Grayskull. Between the light and the darkness lies yeah. Castle Grayskull.
You have to.
There's a Jaws board game coming out.
I seen that too.
Can't wait for that. Cannot wait.
So, have you just put your toy money on the side and you're just ready to go?
I'm ready.
Or are you going to charge this?
I'm marking all my calendars. You know, that's my personal affairs. I don't need to get into that. All
right, I'm just asking.
You know, I'm a hardworking man.
I'm just asking.
Look, the things I love that bring me happiness, I'll get them.
Okay.
That's all you got to know.
Hey, listen, man, whatever floats your boat, Pop.
Thank you very much, sir.
Whatever floats your boat. I'm thinking of getting a pair of cowboy boots.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd go the Ted Mosby route.
I would like to go to the Ted Mosby route. Nice pair of just some
Western wear. You gonna go that route?
Just the boots.
Like Marin? Like Mark Marin?
Yep.
You're gonna start with the fucking
No, I'm not gonna wear the Western
shirts.
T-shirt.
No,
I'm not gonna wear the Western button-down shirts. But I would try a pair of cowboy boots. Because when I was in Arizona,
yeah,
I saw some stylish folk, the townspeople.
Sure.
Wearing cowboy boots, and I was like, I kind of like this look.
But you got to be careful, because sometimes you get a snake in your boot.
It's true. I can't have that.
Yeah.
But luckily, I live in my parents' house. There's no snakes here.
Okay.
So.
I feel like they always looked uncomfortable to me.
They do, but I have a pair of Chelsea boots that kind of are similar. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, those are kind of comfy. I think the cowboy boots could be comfy.
I mean, they look interesting.
That I could walk around and call like you, like little britches.
What about the hat, though?
No, I won't wear it.
Can't you need the Stetson.
No, I'm good. I'll pass on that.
You got the boots. You're halfway there.
Well, literally, yeah. That's why I want the boots so I can start walking around and like calling you like, all right there, little britches.
And I'll be your old prospector.
Yeah, right.
E.G. Emilio.
Oh, gee, Sprax. We got to go down to... The old General Straw. Oh, yeah, I've been looking at them. But they're expensive.
Are they really? What's a pair go for?
Like $400.
$400.
I'm not trying to spend that.
That better come with a snake.
Right? It better come fucking something. Better come with a six shooter.
Well, that's the other. That's the three. That's the trifecta.
That is the trifecta.
The hat,
yeah,
the gun,
yeah, and the man. Fucking, oh, and then I got to get one of those duster coats.
Yeah.
Like, Emilio Estevez and Young Guns.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, I think, kind of cool. I like that look.
The duster coat?
Yeah.
Why don't we dress up like cowboys and just plainsmen?
Because we don't live in the South.
We can start reading Zane Grey.
I don't know what that even is.
Zane Grey was this, like, 18... was this, like... He pretty much made, like, the Western genre what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before John Ford movies, there was Zane Grey.
Okay.
In the literary world.
I see. Yes.
Yeah.
It's never been my genre, to be honest with you.
I think I want to read some Zane Grey, actually. As soon as I finish Diary of an Oxygen Thief, I think that's I'm going to go buy some Zane.
Okay.
And see whether or not I want to be a plainsman.
Yeah, I mean, raw diet, cowboy boots.
Yeah, I'm totally...
This is who you're going to be now.
On two different spectrums of the plane.
This is how you're going to be now.
Yeah.
Are you going to get... Oh, well, I guess they're all made from animal products, right?
I'm probably gonna have to look for like eco-friendly vegan ones.
I don't know if that's a thing. I feel pleather. Like cowboy.
They got pleather.
Okay.
You can find pleather.
Do you know pleather? There was a couple years ago, there was a scandal where they were using real leather instead of pleather, but selling it as pleather because it was cheaper to get real leather.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It was like some coat company. Like they were like, he's a pleather, but it was actually leather.
Scummy business.
I know. Unbelievable.
Scummy.
All right. Let's take a break. I want to go eat a Mickey ice cream.
I got to piss.
Doesn't know I'm started recording. Emilio is tending to his beard right now.
I had to comb it because it was a little.
Feel like I'm watching something very intimate.
You want to comb it?
Is that your beard comb? Please, I would love it. Wait. Is this a Fonzie?
Yeah.
It's a switchblade comb.
Damn straight.
Oh wow, that is rough. You've got basically pubes on your face.
No, feel how soft it is.
No, that's rough, bro.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's rough. That's like Brillo.
You lie.
Look, you could.
It's coarse.
Yeah, it's coarse. How do you cut it?
I don't cut it.
But how do you shape it?
Oh, I go to the barber.
Oh, you don't do it yourself?
No, sir. I go to the barber.
It's not annoying at this point. Don't you miss the way your chin feels?
I miss my face, yeah. But it's also been really cold. So it's helped.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I guess that's the reason for
it. It's nice and wild cutting in like.
Every time I try to have a beard, I can only go a month and then I'm like, it's annoying
me. You got to get past that. You got to use like the oils and the.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of oils do you have to use?
I'm using, for my barber gave me something called Elegance.
Elegance?
Yeah, I'll show you it.
Elegance. Ooh, it's a black squirty bottle. Hair and beard oil, professional use.
Yeah,
ooh.
It smells nice too. Give it a little whiskey.
Ooh, it does smell nice. So this is what you need, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I'll get it.
You should.
I'll do it.
You want to try a little now?
No, I got nothing going on.
I know you don't. I don't know why.
Because I had a beard going.
And then my mom, bless her soul, she gave me like a balm, but I don't really use this.
Izod. Performex. Hair and beard wax. Why does your mom have this?
She bought it for me for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
You smell that.
Oh, that smells nice, too.
It smells nice. But I'm switching it up. I'm doing more of, like, organic products.
Sure, of course.
Like, now my deodorant and my toothpaste and my mouthwash are all, like, non... Like, I don't have none of the toxins. Like, no fluoride.
No GMOs.
Yeah, none of that shit.
Okay.
So now I'm finding beard oil for it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I dated someone.
Who made her own beard oil?
No, she only brushed with like organic toothpaste that she bought like at like farmers markets.
Yeah.
But her breath was horrible. Horrible.
See, I used Tom's. No fluoride.
She had something much more like someone in a field made it. It was terrible.
That was probably an internal thing. She probably had like leaky gut and it probably just seeped up. Like that smell comes from within.
There's no way to bring it up.
Like that smell comes from within you. That just doesn't, like, you know what I mean? Like it's either you have smelly breath or you don't.
No. Luckily she doesn't listen to this.
Maybe she had a tooth problem too because sometimes they're like rotten teeth.
I don't think her teeth were rotten. Anyway, We're back.
That's a nice shirt.
Thank you so much.
Did you get that at Hot Topic?
No, I got this, I believe, at Target.
Oh, wow.
It's Deadpool.
It's pretty.
Riding a unicorn across.
Cat. It's a unicorn cat.
Yes, of course. Across a rainbow.
It's pretty.
So, we're in obsessions. What's your obsession?
Tetris.
Really?
Yeah.
From the man who doesn't like video games.
Yeah.
Welcome to 1989.
Because I saw a Facebook post about these two guys playing Tetris for the World Tetris Championship. This was fairly recent,
Wait,
too.
There's still a world today?
Yes.
This year?
This wasn't old, pal. This was like brand new.
Holy shit.
They had commentators for it and everything. Split screen.
Well, really? That's interesting. Because I know esports is a thing, but yeah. I don't know Tetris was something.
Tetris is a thing. I'm gonna Google it right now. Let's see if I want to know who the World Tetris Champion is.
It's got to be a Russian person, right? They invented it.
Let's see.
Right? It came from Russia?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Russian.
World Tetris Championship 2018. Yep. Check that out, buddy.
Classic Tetris World Championship. Oh, it only launched in 2010. Oh, actually, it's American. It started in California. Now it's in Portland. Contestants play Nintendo's 1989 Tetris on actual NES systems. What are you playing it on?
My iPad.
How are you?
I'm going to I go online to Tetris.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about, I don't know, I got the highest score of 50,000 so far. I got to level 9. That took a couple of weeks to get.
Back in the 80s, my parents were obsessed with Tetris back in the day.
So now I play it when I'm like taking a poop or something.
Tetris is exciting. You remember this summer when I was super into Dr. Mario?
Yeah.
I prefer Dr. Mario to Tetris, but it's the same shit. It's the same shit.
So I've been playing that a lot.
That's exciting. This is a genuine obsession.
Yeah.
What does it do for you? Does it feel good?
Yeah. Well, it makes you think, and I like to build blocks. It's fun. It's fun to build blocks.
You should do Legos, bro.
I think I can do this digitally because it's free. But then I'm also into another thing, too. But, yeah, the Tetris is cool, man. And I kind of get pissed once
the speed... Do you do music or not music?
I kind of mute it because I'm, like, watching, like, TV or I'm listening to something else.
Okay.
And then I'm motherfucking as, like, if I mess up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always that one time you mess up.
And then it's over.
And then, yeah.
Because once it gets fast, it's fucking terrible.
It's just a catastrophe after that.
I was on the last level of Dr. Mario for like 3 weeks before I finally fucking... Just losing and losing and losing and losing.
Dude, you lose your shit. And I was aggravated, too. I thought I was like, okay, I can get to level 10 because I could do it.
Yeah.
Because there's only 20 levels on the game when you go to Tetris.com. So I thought I could do this.
Mm-hmm. They keep trying to update Tetris.
Don't.
Exactly. All they do is add new things that are not good and change the graphics, which are unnecessary. Like, it's perfect the way it was.
I like the old music. This music is not... Yeah, let me see if I can do it for you. Let me find it for you. Let's see.
You think Trump plays Tetris? Because he loves Russians.
I see what you're doing there.
Commentary. Political commentary, folks.
That's what we do on PCMC.
That's what we do. We're just a bunch of libtards.
My highest score is 70,395.
I don't know enough about Tetris to know if that's good or not. It sounds nice. Yeah!
Oh, this is like a...
This is like a remix.
Yeah, I don't like the updated version.
It's nice, though. Does it never get to the next part? That's annoying.
It's just a constant loop.
Oh, that's annoying. When you close your eyes at night to go to sleep, do you see the blocks coming down on you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They say that playing video games right before bed is bad for you. It could give you weird dreams.
Well, Mike, since I've been falling asleep at the most weirdest fucking times, you know what? It's funny that you say that because I played Tetris before I went to bed this morning.
Yeah. You mean last night?
Yeah.
Or and this morning?
This morning.
Okay.
Around like 10. And I had a dream that I was driving a big rig 18-wheeler.
Sure.
And for some reason...
Was this your over-the-top dream?
I was... Oh, I wish. For some reason, I was backing into a parking spot.
Yeah.
And I smashed through the garage of my house.
For real?
Yeah. That was legit the dream. So I Googled it.
Yeah.
Where's my phone?
It's right in front of you, dummy.
And I'll tell you what the dream meant.
Oh, you found on Google what it meant?
Yes. This is what it says. I Googled driving a truck backwards through a house dream.
Very specific.
Dream interpretations. Moving backwards. If you are walking or going backwards in a dream, it might be because you are withdrawing from a situation in your waking life. It's possible that if you continue in a situation during your waking hours, it may hinder your progress or end up being counterproductive.
I don't know if I believe that stuff. Do you believe that?
No.
Because I feel like a lot of it is like art criticism, and it's like my brain is not creating symbolism for me like that you can do a semiotic read on.
But to quote Mitchell Goosen from the movie Airborne, who quoted Freud, everything we need to know is in our dreams. It is the gateway to enlightenment.
Wow. You just committed a cardinal sin of academia doing a secondary source. I'd say go straight to the Freud on that one. Airborne. I've never seen that.
Dude.
Is that the skateboard movie?
Yeah. No, it's Rollerblades.
Rollerblade, right.
Yeah.
Is that the one where the kid's from California and like he's like in some new place and like he California? Yeah, he's
from Michigan.
Yeah.
He goes to Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, bruh.
Okay.
Mitchell Goosen, bruh.
Speaking of cult leaders, my obsession is I'm reading a biography of Walt Disney. I've been wanting to read a biography of him since I went to the Mickey exhibit, but I didn't know which one. And there's a couple of famous ones. There's a famous one from the 90s, but I feel like, oh, that's kind of old. And that one's also, like, sanctioned by Disney. So I didn't want, like, I didn't want, like, the he's a genius one.
Yeah, you want the dark, seedy shit.
I actually wanted something in the middle. I didn't want a takedown piece, and I didn't want a he's great piece. I wanted something in the middle. So I found a really good one that focuses mostly on the animation history. It's by a guy named Michael Barrerer. And it's called The Animated Man. And The Animated Man focuses on Disney from the 20s to, I think, the 50s, mostly on his animation. And it, you know, it talks about, like, he has kids, he has a wife, but it's mostly about the business and what happened in business and how he made his cartoons and the developments that he made. And it's really interesting to see, like, how he worked in the company and to learn things I didn't know about Disney and to have things dispelled that I always thought I knew about Disney. There are some awful things. There are some cool things that are like, oh, I find that.
Okay, what is, give me one awful and one cool.
One awful is he was really hard to work with to the point where his workers went out on strike. He had created within the Disney company a like fake, like I think they called it the Federation, which was like kind of a union, but not really, because it was owned by Disney.
Okay.
And when they unionized, he didn't want to unionize with them, and then they went out on strike. And then after the strike was over, he fired a lot of people that striked, and he put in time clocks that had not been there before. And he actually said, I became a Republican. Because his father, Disney's father, was a socialist. And he said, I started off being a lot like my father, but as I learned more about business, I realized that people want to take what you've built and so on and so forth.
Well, he's right about that.
And you can't give them anything. And so he became kind of an asshole in that regard. Something interesting I learned, at least from the writer of this book, is the writer says that he's not anti-Semitic. Because one of the big things you hear about Disney was he was an anti-Semite. And according to the writer of this book, the reason for that is because he was really hard on two animators and fired them. But these were the two guys that started the strike. And they happened to be Jewish. And according to this biographer, there's nothing else that gives evidence for him being anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And I would believe it because this biographer doesn't sugarcoat things. Disney was hard to work with. He was an asshole. He had a foul mouth. He was constantly cursing. His favorite curse was shit. He'd always be like, ah, shit. He was a chain smoker. He would cough all the time because of his chain smoking. He would fire lots of people. I had thought that after, you know, like there's a Disney version of history, and I thought that after he made Snow White, like it was all smooth sailing, but it actually wasn't. The next two movies he made were Pinocchio and Fantasia, which were failures and lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he ended up firing half of the staff. So whenever things got tight, he would do these massive layoffs, which is dickish.
Yeah, but he had to. He had no choice.
These are the people that got you where you are. He also had a rule that women couldn't work for Disney except for one department, which is called the in-betweeners, which were, they're kind of like the assistants that do the shitty work.
That's weird.
The most interesting thing I learned was the reason Mickey got popular was had nothing to do with Mickey as a character, because Mickey as a character was not that different from other contemporary characters like Bimbo, who was a dog character from Max Fleischer, and Felix the Cat.
I thought he was the name of the...
Bimbo?
Yeah, I thought he was from... What is that? Lord of the Rings or...
No, that's Bilbo. Oh. Bimbo, he's not as well known as his girlfriend, Betty Boop. But Bimbo was first.
Bimbo and Boop, they were a thing?
Yeah. And Boop was originally a dog and then became a human. They transitioned her into a human. Anyway, Disney... Mickey wasn't that interesting or that different. And his animation at the beginning was actually kind of shitty. He was known for not having good animation. He was known for having cheap, shitty animation.
Yeah.
But his big thing was when sound film started in 1927, he was like, we need to make our cartoons in sound. And some others had tried it and kind of failed, but he went all in with Steamboat Willie. So Steamboat Willie is famous for being the first appearance of Mickey Mouse, but it's really the first fully developed synchronized sound cartoon.
And that was before,
that's what did it.
And that was before Snow White.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what did it, because cartoons were kind of going out of style, and he had made two Mickeys before Steamboat. Steamboat's the first one that came out, but that was the third one he made. And the first two were silent, and he couldn't get a distributor for them because they were like, look, you know, whatever, it's cute, but nobody cares about cartoons anymore. We're going into the sound era. So then he made Steamboat Willie with sound, and that's why the most famous thing from it is him whistling.
Yeah.
And
they use that now in the opening.
Yeah. So that was that. And then, of course, the next big innovation was Snow White was feature length.
Okay.
I was also surprised to find out that Pinocchio was such a failure. And Fantasia.
I didn't know that they would be. I thought they were like these huge things.
They're beloved now. Both of them got kind of middling, kind of reviews, but what do you call it? On Pinocchio, he lost millions of dollars.
Okay.
He made nothing on that movie. Huge financial failure. On Fantasia, he gained a little bit of money, but like $300,000. Not a lot.
Not a lot.
For a huge investment.
Not a lot.
Dumbo, which I didn't know this, was like a cheap little movie. He made it for nothing.
Yeah.
And that ended up being a big hit. And then right now in the book, I'm at World War II, where literally the government is in the Disney offices and they're basically making him make propaganda.
Oh, shit.
And not just propaganda, but also like training films and stuff like that. So it's been pretty interesting. It gets a little bit too like names and dates and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting to see this person like with really no education kind of like build this thing.
And he was an all right artist. He wasn't the best.
No, not really. He even wasn't a good animator. Like, he called himself a coordinator. Like, everything had to go through him, but he wasn't the director of things. He wasn't the animator of things. He just was, like, the boss man who made all the decisions.
Yeah, he was the money guy.
Well, he was the decisions guy. His brother Roy was the money guy.
Okay.
Roy took care of all that part of it. So it's been pretty interesting so far.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So that's my obsession.
It's a good obsession.
Yeah, boy.
Are we done?
I think so.
I mean, we did a lot today.
It feels like we're done.
I think we killed it. It was a good episode.
They're all good.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently our Mr. Rogers one isn't that good.
I know, it sticks with me. All right, everybody, this has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. That's Emilio Sparks. You can find this podcast. Well, you're already listening to it, so you found it somehow.
Yeah,
but you
right?
can subscribe to this podcast anywhere podcasts are available.
Yeah, listen to us.
You know, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere.
We're on everything.
Yeah, and it's at Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram.
Give it a listen.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.